Welcome back to the deep dive. You gave us a formidable stack of research, really focusing on the friction points in modern governance. We've tried to distill it for you. And today we're wrestling with something I think we've all run into, bureaucracy. Trying to navigate the public sector, it often feels less like moving forward and more like, I don't know, trying to turn an oil tanker with a kayak paddle.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy.
The notes you shared really highlight this huge challenge. Institutional inertia, these rigid processes, they're just slowing down progress everywhere.
And it's more than just slow, right?
Yeah.
It's fundamentally resistant to change sometimes. When we look at the core problem, the real question becomes, how can we take these strategies that work so well in the private sector? You know, things that drive efficiency, real outcome focus.
Like design thinking.
By agile.
Exactly.
Design thinking, agile methods, clear goal setting, like OKRs. How do we inject those into government administration? Because these systems, they were often designed for stability.
Right.
But stability in a world that's constantly changing, well, it quickly becomes stagnation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So, okay, our mission for the deep dive then is to get past just complaining about it and actually find some actionable strategies. We're unpacking this analysis of institutional challenges, looking particularly at observations from, say, the German administration, and searching for a specific outcome-oriented kind of manual, something to drive real transformation.
Finding ways around the red tape.
Exactly. The knowledge that bypasses the red tape entirely. So let's start with the basic problem. If, you know, pretty much everyone involved, citizens, civil servants, agrees the system is too slow, why is change so incredibly difficult in these big established institutions? What's keeping that inertia locked in place?
Well, the analysis points to three main structural culprits.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't just slow things down. They can actively prevent progress.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is kind of the obvious one, institutional inertia and bureaucracy itself.
Right.
These structures are just designed to keep doing what they've always done.
Mm-hmm.
They're incredibly resistant to even small changes. If the rule book says step A must come before step B,
then that's how it is, even if it makes no sense anymore.
Exactly. You've got maybe years, even decades, of precedent backing it up.
Okay, so that's the structure. But the source notes hinted at something maybe a bit more insidious than just slow processes.
Correct. That's the second culprit. A really widespread fear of transparency. In a lot of these legacy systems, there's a reluctance, you know, a real hesitation to be fully open about internal performance or budgets or how decisions actually get made.
And that lack of clear visibility means
what?
Accountability suffers.
Precisely. Citizens, even other government bodies, can't really hold the system accountable. And public trust just starts to erode pretty quickly if you can't see the process.
You assume the worst.
You assume the worst, yeah.
Okay, and the third factor, you said it was critical because it affects the whole direction or maybe the lack of direction?
That's it. It's the lack of a coherent strategy. Bureaucracy often works in silos, right?
Mm.
You might have, say, 10 different departments, all tackling related issues, but without one single overarching strategy that ties them all together.
Every effort is just piecemeal.
Exactly. Change ends up being small, maybe temporary, and it just gets absorbed back into the inertia. It prevents any real cohesive transformation happening on a national scale.
Yeah.
It's like having 10 people trying to row a boat, but they're all heading for different shores.
Okay. So structures built for stasis, processes hidden behind layers of reporting, and no shared map. That paints a pretty grim picture.
It can be, yeah.
So if this current model of hierarchy and sort of risk aversion isn't working, we clearly need a different mindset. Where do the notes suggest we look for inspiration, for an institutional culture that actually does drive efficiency and results?
The material points towards some comparative success stories, and it specifically draws some inspiring lessons from the Dutch corporate culture. Looking at it as a potential framework for how large government structures could radically shift how they operate internally.
Interesting. The Dutch model, specifically, why? What is it about that culture that seems to resist the bureaucratic pitfalls we just talked about?
Well, it seems to boil down to four core principles that directly challenge that old hierarchy and status quo.
Mm-hmm.
First is equality. It's this fundamental idea that everyone is treated equally, respected equally, regardless of their position or title.
Okay, so in a bureaucracy where hierarchy often dictates who gets heard.
Right. The Dutch model tries to flatten those obstructive layers right away.
That would instantly remove roadblocks like, you know, the mid-level manager protecting their turf or the senior person whose opinion just can't be questioned.
Precisely. Then the second key principle is efficiency. This is where that real pragmatic focus comes in.
How so?
Meetings are specifically for making decisions, for achieving results. They are not for endless debates or just sharing information that could easily be an email.
Okay.
And our sources noted this interesting detail, the intentional use of pauses in discussions.
Pauses?
To do what? Pauses designed to actually force people to process information, think, formulate a clear response, and move towards a concrete action item, instead of just filling the air with talk, you know?
Wow. Intentional silence to drive results. That feels revolutionary for the public sector, where meetings sometimes feel more like a performance.
It's a different approach.
Okay, so what about measuring success then?
That links directly to the third principle, being strictly outcome-oriented.
Meaning?
The entire institutional focus just shifts. It moves to tangible results, measurable impact, not status, not hierarchy, not just following a rigid process, because that's how it's always been done.
So if the outcome isn't achieved,
then the process is seen as unsuccessful. It doesn't matter how perfectly you follow the steps on paper. The result is what counts.
And finally, you mentioned four principles. What's the last one? I bet it links back to that transparency issue.
You got it. Robust transparency. Openness, clear communication about objectives, shared access to results. It's valued at every single step. By focusing relentlessly on outcomes and making them visible, you directly combat that internal fear of transparency we identified earlier. The system basically has to show its work.
Okay, so we have this cultural ideal from the Netherlands. Flatter hierarchy, efficient decisions, outcome-focused transparency. But change in culture alone, especially in a huge bureaucracy, feels like a massive task.
It is. Culture change needs tools.
Right. We need a specific practical lever, a methodology. What's the process-based tool our sources point to for actually implementing this kind of change?
That's where design thinking comes into play. It's presented as this really powerful user-centric toolkit for transformation.
And how does it attack that inertia problem?
Fundamentally, it replaces those rigid top-down approaches with flexibility, with iteration. Instead of just imposing old solutions onto new problems, it forces the administration, the organization, to really explore the current reality first, and then develop innovative solutions tailored specifically to the user's actual need.
Okay, let's walk through that process, because this sounds like where a government agency could start acting maybe a bit more like a startup.
Exactly. The process starts with the users. That could be citizens, businesses, maybe frontline civil servants themselves. That's empathize.
Understanding their experience.
Yes, you have to genuinely understand the current situation, the pain points, the real needs of the people involved. You can't define a solution until you fully grasp the problem from their perspective.
Right. Then you take all that understanding.
And you define, you synthesize that knowledge, create a focused overview, and set a crystal clear problem statement. What is the single precise problem we're trying to solve here?
Okay. Empathize, define. Then what?
Then you ideate. This is the collaborative brainstorming part. Developing potential solutions, often quite radical ones. And this is where that equality principle helps again. Ideally, all ideas are weighted equally at this stage.
Okay. Now, here's where I sometimes see a potential disconnect. Bureaucracies do test things, right? They call it a pilot project. How is this final step of design thinking, test, and iterate fundamentally different from how institutions have always tried out new ideas? Isn't it just a fancier name for, like, better planning?
Ah, that's the absolute difference. And it's key to dismantling that inertia. Traditional bureaucracy is often built on a deep fear of failure, right? So they spend ages, sometimes years, planning for one massive, perfect, hopefully irreversible deployment. That pilot project is often just a highly controlled miniature version of the final huge plan.
Yeah.
It's still designed not to fail in the pilot stage.
High risk, high cost if the main thing eventually fails.
Exactly. Design thinking, especially the test and iterate phase, it flips that. It actually embraces failure as informative. It says, implement small, low-risk solutions incrementally. Get immediate feedback from real users. Measure the results constantly. And use that data to improve the solution again and again. Failure is now cheap, and it's educational. This incremental approach, that's the engine of agile transformation. It moves you away from rigid five-year plans towards flexible, feedback-driven progress. It allows the system to admit upfront that it doesn't have all the answers, which is basically heresy in traditional bureaucracy.
That makes a lot of sense. The rigidity is built on never admitting error, while design thinking forces you to make small, observable errors early so you can learn and correct quickly.
Precisely.
Okay, so we have the process design thinking. We have the cultural idea, the Dutch model. Now we need the strategic map, right,
Yeah.
to guide and measure all this. How do we make sure these new outcome-oriented projects, like maybe a new digital service designed using DT, actually stay on track and deliver measurable results for the whole country?
This is where we need to shift our thinking up a level, towards those large strategic initiatives. The sources suggest viewing major governmental initiatives, or maybe special funds, almost like an OKR system.
Okay.
Objectives and key results. Using that framework moves the institution away from just tracking activities. You know, do we spend the money towards tracking measurable strategic achievements?
Yeah.
Did the spending actually result in the desired impact?
Okay, let's unpack that a bit for the listener. What exactly is the objectives and key results framework? How does it provide that coherent strategy we said was missing earlier?
Right. So OKRs are essentially a management tool to clarify direction. The objective is the what. What do you want to achieve? It should be ambitious, maybe a bit inspirational.
Okay, the big goal.
The big goal. And the key results are the how. How will you measure success? These must be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound SMART goals, essentially. This framework replaces those vague, high-level goals with concrete metrics. It helps ensure that every project, every fund, every decision is actually aligned with, say, 3 or 4 top-level national goals.
And the source material actually gave specific examples of what these national-level objectives could look like for a country aiming for this kind of transformation, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It listed 3 very specific high-level goals that an OKR system for a major initiative could track. Objective 1 would be focused on becoming a decisive and future-proof country.
Okay. That sounds like the overarching goal of agility, resilience, effective government that actually acts instead of just delaying.
Exactly. It speaks directly to overcoming that institutional inertia by forcing decisiveness.
What about the country's actual capacity, the skills?
That's objective 2, positioning education and skills to be globally competitive. This focuses squarely on human capital, making sure the nation's workforce, its academic institutions, are equipped for the future economy.
And that's measurable.
Oh, definitely. You could measure it through specific increases in, say, high demand technical qualifications or improvements in international education rankings, things like that.
Okay. And the final one, you mentioned 3. I imagine it ties back to transparency again.
It does, directly. Objective 3, ensuring transparency in the use and impact of investments. This is all about accountability.
Making sure the money is well spent and we can see it.
Exactly. Making sure the public can track where the money goes and critically verify through clear data whether that investment actually made a measurable difference in achieving objectives 1 and 2. It's the metric that proves the system is genuinely outcome oriented, not just activity oriented.
So ultimately, what we're learning here, it seems, isn't about just copying one specific system wholesale, right? It's not just let's become Dutch or let's just install OKRs like Google.
Yeah, absolutely not.
It's more about learning from those best practices and then deliberately applying a new way of thinking, one that's measurable, flexible, transparent, and really focused on outcomes to solve these deep-rooted problems that come from decades of rigid structure.
Precisely. The core requirement, really, for any administrative body looking to move forward is this massive mindset shift. It's about embracing, maybe even demanding, radical transparency, prioritizing tangible efficiency over just status or process, and maintaining that relentless focus on outcomes and the user experience. That's how you finally start to drive real change away from that deep-seated institutional inertia.
So if you are the learner listening right now, those source notes really hammered home this idea, abandoning rigid, top-down approaches for the flexibility of test and iterate. Maybe take a look at your own daily processes. Could be at work, maybe in a community group you're part of, even just how you manage things at home. What's one established, slow, kind of rigid procedure you run into all the time? One that could potentially be transformed, even in a small way, by adopting that incremental feedback-driven mindset, because that might be the real starting point for change, finding the smallest unit of inertia you can break today.